If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the one cosmic beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So this evening, our seminar topic is dropping your small story to embrace unlimited vastness. Dropping your small story to embrace unlimited vastness. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and ask the light to fill, surround, and clear you, opening you to the level that would be appropriate tonight to receive what is your portion. Asking that anything that could be cleared at this time through grace that take place. And asking that only that which is for your highest good come forward for you and be quickened and activated according to your highest rate. And now just sense where you are right now. Right now, what is your state of mind and mood? Where are you in this moment? Where is your consciousness? Focus your awareness here and now. What state are you embodying? And could you take that into eternity now? If this were your last breath, is that what you would want to take with you? Is that enough? Is it big enough to make your life all about that? Is that really what you want your life to be about? You know, so many people make their lives about things, people, and situations that they're going to have to leave at some point. The minute you cross out of this body-mind complex, all that was part of that life that you're departing must be left behind. You will take only your awareness with you. Only your awareness. And your awareness in that second of crossing over determines what manifests as what you experience next. It's really important to contemplate. You know, many people make their lives about relationships. It's all about their romantic other, or their children, or their grandchildren, or their career, or their business, or their job, or how much their financial situation is. Or preserving it, or protecting it, or trying to enhance it. For others, it's all about the house that they've just bought, or they're building or planning to build, or their car that they're planning to buy or have just bought. Somebody asked somebody who had just bought a brand new car one time. This wasn't a particularly awakened person. You just ask him, how long do you think that car is going to make you happy? And the guy looked at him and he said, well, about 2 months. And isn't that true? About 2 months. Amherst Light Baba said one time that marriage is, let's see if I can remember it exactly. Marriage is 23 hours and 55 minutes of misery and 5 minutes of joy. Well, yeah, that's about how long it takes the average person to reach an orgasm, right? I would assume that's the joy that he was speaking of. So we make our lives about all of these things that are transitory and impermanent. Not that they're wrong. I mean, we have a dharma. If you're a parent, you have a dharma to raise your children properly so that they can leave you and hopefully get a life that's truly meaningful for themselves. Your grandchildren, thank heavens, you can pass them on to their parents at the end of the day. But really, you're sort of like a wise mentor in the background of their lives. You can't make your life about them. We can't try to live our lives through our children. I remember I was very troubled about some of the problems of raising my child. And I was in an interview with Sai Baba, and I was thinking in my mind, what to do? You know, is there any hope here? It seemed like things were heading in a direction that was not going to be ending well. And although I didn't speak out loud, Sai Baba turned and looked at me, and he said, children come through you, not to you. They come for their own purposes, not yours. They have their own karma, their own life, their own spiritual direction, different from parents. And that gave me a great deal of comfort. And it still does today when I get concerned about various things going on with my children and now grandchildren. And it's so useful to remind yourself periodically that everything is on loan to you for a time and a season. And that we need to really, really appreciate the things that we have while we have them. But don't make your whole life about them. Keep that perspective. Likewise, when somebody departs, everything that's born into the world has an expiration date stamped on it. It has a limited time to appear within the dance of time and space. Be aware of that. Don't deceive yourself. Nothing in the material world of form is forever. Nothing. 50 years from now, everyone that I'm talking to, practically, or maybe a little longer in some of your cases, is not going to be here. In 100 years, everything you see outside the window is going to be gone. Everyone and everything. We have a little dance on this stage of life with certain lines to deliver into time-space, a certain character to enact, and then we depart the stage. The act is over. So while we're on the stage of life, we need to remember who we truly are. You know, it's different than in the acting business where it's deemed to be good if you can be a method actor and totally embody your character. Maybe that's why so many actors have very dysfunctional lives off camera, because they get lost and the false identity, and they forget who they are. They bring their character home. I did that when I was an actor. One time I was playing a bitch in a play that I was doing, and I would bring that bitch consciousness home to my husband at night. And as soon as I realized I was doing that, with his reminder, I might say, I realized, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to enact characters that go against my own nature of what I want my life to be about and what I want him to be. And I was 28 years old at the time, and that's the last play I ever did. I completely lost all interest in acting at that point. And likewise, in my own life, I have lost all interest in enacting and being anything other than who and what I am. And it's getting difficult because I have been known for many, many years, decades actually, as Commander Lady Athena, associated with the Astra Command. But that's not what I identify with. I really have kind of lost that small story somewhere along the way. And I just simply am. I am that I am. I don't identify with any label, be it a starseed label or a cosmic label or a commander label or a religious label or any label. Somewhere along the line, I started dropping my small story and began to awaken and embrace an unlimited sense of vastness that is so incredibly blissful that I can just sit very quietly absorbed in that for hours and hours and not need a single thing from anything or anyone anywhere. It's so free. And that part, you see, I could take my next breath in the next second and take with me into eternity. What is eternity? Eternity is beyond time-space. It's timelessness. It's not a measure of a long period of time. Eternity is the state of no time, which is what you experience when you step out of the body. The perception of time is part of the human mind, or the ego mind, or the sequencing portion of the mind that operates along a sequential unfoldment on the timeline. But this is all a mental creation. Time is created by man. Timelessness is the realm of the divine, and you are divine. So whatever you have in your life, for the time that you have it, be grateful for it and appreciate it. Many times we lose our loved ones, or we assume we've lost them. We really can't lose anything that has ever been loved. Love is eternal. We can take love with us to eternity. That is the one thing that we can take, and that we do take. So, remind yourself that you had the blessing of that person in your life for the period of time that you had it, whether it was a few hours or a long period for that. Appreciate that. That was grace being extended to you. That was the happy dream manifesting for you. Grateful, appreciate it. But don't allow temptation of overwhelmness and grief to occlude and delude your mind. That's buying into the mode of ignorance. And I'm speaking, I'm very, very conscious and desiring to be more conscious in the fifth each week. These are advanced seminars. Therefore, people who are indeed in that stage of becoming Christed, illumined, awakened, the anointed one, speaking to the collective Christ, collective avatar, the collective Messiah. Speaking to you, to the masters. Forgot they were masters and took embodiment here. Or became confused in their sense of identity somewhere along the way to self-mastery. I'm speaking to you. There's not very many out there doing that. That's why we cut to the chase here. I'm not going to be tickling your ears with telling you what planet you came from and making up yet another story about your cosmic identity. That's not the purpose of these seminars. I'm not going to get you into another cult and put a label on it called Ashtar Command. No. Bigger than that. That, I often say, when you say you're part of the Ashtar Command, that's like saying you work at Starbucks or Walmart or some other place. It's a job, okay? It's not your identity. It's a job. Get over it. It's going to be left behind. Yes, even the Ashtar Command. That's a designation only on a certain limited level of manifestation. Do you think we're identified with our roles as commanders forever? Give me a break. Who would want to be a commander forever? So what are we? The same as you, immortal spirits. We're Atma, taking temporary manifestation to fulfill a particular function in time-space. Many of us have awakened beyond time-space and thus function out of the bondage of time-space definition. The real commanders, like Ashtar, have long since merged with the Beloved. They are divine consciousness itself. So even calling Ashtar Commander Ashtar is a devotion of really who and what he is. Speaking of he, it's beyond gender. A lot of people make their lives about what their sex organs look like, or wishing they were different. Do you know that body you have left in every condition, every gender, every color of skin, every religious label you have, by the time you graduate from this earth school, you will have embodied in every race, creed, culture, state of consciousness, functional, dysfunctional, evil, good, saintly, depraved, you've been it all. That modatic essence that descended into matter has individualized, well, not individualized, but it has incorporated itself into every kingdom of nature and every species. From a rock through the plants to the animals, and finally, you earned a conscious, self-aware life called a human being, which is what is desired by every single, according to the masters, every single thing in existence aspires to a human birth, or has been a human, or has evolved beyond the human state. What is beyond the human state? You become a superhuman. The human state is a hybrid of the mind, the ego mind, or the limited mind, and the divine. So when you transcend the small story of the limited ego self, you begin to integrate more and more and more the divinity until at some point there's no more ego. The ego has dissolved in the divine. So then you move into what is called the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of souls, or the fifth dimension, or the fifth plane, or Satchkhand, or the realm of Satnam. There's many, many definitions for that, or the soul plane, soul awareness, or Christ consciousness, or Buddha consciousness. You see, labels are infinite, and sometimes we think we understand something just because we can define it and label it. That's very different from realizing it and being it, to where it is as as much you as your next breath. That's what we need to aspire for. Now, where are you right now? Where are you right now? What state of mood, mind, consciousness are you inhabiting at this second? Really take a look. That ability to look at your state of being is already a distancing from being sucked into that small story. It's already the ability to distance yourself in awareness. Can you catch the difference? Who's listening right now? That's the awareness. Who looked just now? That's the awareness. Now, the ego can't do that. It is so invested as the small story, it cannot see apart from its upset, its drama, and its mood making. Notice that. Notice how you lose awareness whenever you are upset. Pay attention. Don't miss these golden opportunities. Your life is your spiritual yoga. It is your practice. You don't need any other practice if you just practice staying awake and aware, keeping alert to what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're embodying. Enough already. That's called Vipassana. Vipassana meditation. A far more effective form of meditation than sitting and letting your mind will gather. So notice whenever you are upset, and into your small personal story, you're going to start being more aware of that now if you haven't already begun to be so after this seminar. Notice when you're in your stuff, you can't think clearly. The mind goes into scatter. You ever notice when you're really angry that everything turns black just before you throw that whatever? Or you, I used to slam the door until it would come off the hinges. And I noticed one day, just before I would do that, that everything would go black inside my mind. Yeah, your aura turns black too, with red flashes. Ugly. So be aware, wake up in the midst of your stuff. Become conscious and stop it. Stop yourself in mid-complaint, mid-rant, mid-grouse. Catch yourself. And notice also, whenever you are angry or in a state of lust, and you're lusting after someone or something, notice how you can't think. The minute you're involved in greed, lust, anger, avarice, jealous, envy, ego, you know, the seven deadly sins. Whenever you're invested in any one of those things, you must think clearly. Why? That is that truth with God is creation or God itself. That's God part of mind. So of course when you're in your ego stuff, your self story, you're not gonna be able to think clearly. So by becoming self-aware in these moments, you're beginning the process of setting free. You're setting yourself free, the prison of limited selfhood. And if you can notice the onset of anger or lust, you are starting beyond it. This is begin with the whole of the ego, learning to move beyond your small and unhappy self. It's never happy. There's never enough satisfied for long. It loves anything, or it love at all, but it will say loves something only for a limited period of time, and then when it is thwarted that it wants, turns immediately into hatred. It's incapable of giving you anything. It is self-deception. It is ego. It's ego, but I was going to say it's ignorance. It's the personification of everything that you're not. Now, part of awakening is beginning to discern between who you truly are, the real self, and the false self. Discerning. And the easy way to discern is finding out when you're starting to run your unhappy number. Your unhappy story is your ego, your false self. Why? Because you're Atmananda. You're the embodiment of Atma. And Atma is always in a state of bliss. Always contented, always whole, always free. In fact, let's do a few I ams here. This is a good 5-point I am. Ready? I am divine. I am identical in nature to God. I am existence, awareness, bliss. I am forever one with God. I am forever whole, holy, and free. You see, right now, your divine embodiment. You are liberated. You have everything you could possibly ever need or want or desire. You're omnipresent. And you have every power, omnipotent, right now. Only buy into and believing and constantly retelling yourself your pity story keeps you from embodying this true identity. That's it. That's the only thing standing between me and absolute freedom. Absolute. Isn't that amazing? Well, I think it is. Of course, I have spent many, many years in this line of thinking, in this line of inquiry, in this line of spiritual practice. And I awakened beyond my small story. So much so that I don't say to anybody anymore, because I'm not interested in their small story. And if they're interested in telling it to me, they don't hear from me again because I'm not going to participate in that. Want to hang out with me? You got to stay awake and aware and divine communion. Otherwise, forget it. Sorry, but that's the way it is. When you realize yourself here, you don't really give a hoot. There's only one self, and that's who you are. That's who everyone is. So, right now, we're in the period of purification. I think it's rather obvious, isn't it? We're in the cycle of purification. Hello. Preparatory to the full manifestation. Right now, we're in the manifesting, birthing, unfolding of the golden age. This is the day of purification and the day of revelation. And the dawning of the golden age. Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, the cosmic Christ avatar, came and completely set the blueprint in place for the golden age and established it through his devotees. And now, Prema Sai Baba is coming on the scene, is present, though unrevealed, because we're not to follow the form. But we're in the age, the era, the Sai era of the Golden Age, which started in the year 2000, which Sai Baba designated as the year of Prema, or Divine Love. You know, I wondered about that because 2001 we had 9/11, and I was so shocked because I thought we were going to go straight away into the Golden Age. But I totally forgot what he had to say, that we go to the Day of Purification first, where there's a certain weeding out and a culling of those who are not going to be able to sustain living in harmony and love. They, of course, can't inherit the Golden Age. It'd be like taking a fish out of the ocean and expecting it to live in a bowl of fresh water in your fish tank. So we're in that age now where it's very obvious who people serve, because you can tell by the fruit. You know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, patience, humility, self-control, gentleness. So those are the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. And those we have to be fruit-bearing, otherwise we're going to get pruned from the tree of life. We have to have the fruit primarily. What else? We have a fruit of loving compassion. Without compassion, every other spiritual effort we make, according to Sai Baba, is a complete waste of time. You can't succeed in anything in the divine path without opening and softening the heart, finding fault,